Greetings in Jesus' precious name. This evening we're going to speak on the social life of the heaven-bound pilgrims. This subject of social life, often youth have high interest in social life, but I think the rest of us would say that we too enjoy social life and have an interest in social life because God has made us social beings. We could say that social life began in Genesis chapter 2, verse 18, when the Lord God said, "It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet for him." God made Eve, and he introduced Eve to Adam when he awoke out of sleep. And we could say that God brought perfect social life to Adam. It was perfect social life. But as we look further into Scripture, we notice the fall in the garden, and that changed that very much. God-honoring social life became a big problem for man. And it wasn't long that God said, "I'm going to have to destroy man, except for one family." And that was not so much because of work life, it was because of social life. Social life can be very negative. It can be detrimental. And we're thinking tonight, social life that contributes to spiritual maturity. We're interested in social life that is very positive to us. We want social life that helps us to grow as a Christian, that we have social life that helps us to have more victory and less defeat. Social life that helps us to get to heaven, as we were singing. There'd be various ways to develop a message like this, but I've chosen to develop it from the story of Mordecai and Esther. You may open your Bibles to Esther. And we'd like to take most of our points for this message from this story. Again, we raise the question, how can we have social life that contributes to spiritual maturity? In chapter 2 of 7, or chapter 2, verse 7, we know the story. We're not going to share. We're just going to break into various places in the story. We have in verse 7 here, "And he brought up Hadassah," that is Esther, "his uncle's daughter, for she had neither father nor mother, and the maid was fair and beautiful, whom Mordecai, when her father and mother were dead, took for his own daughter." Mordecai here, he learned of a need. The need was his younger cousin needed a stepfather, needed a home. And he took that responsibility. And that's the first point, to take spiritual responsibility. I believe we're thinking of how can we have social life that contributes to spiritual maturity. First of all, take spiritual responsibility. Taking responsibility is very important. It is huge. It makes a difference, a tremendous difference in family life, in church life, in school life, in the nations of the world. And we look about in our society, we look at the young people and the parents, and we see the irresponsibility, refusing to take responsibility. But as we think about spiritual responsibility, what this means is putting God before social life. It's putting God before social life. One thing that we need to remember this evening is that if we put social life before God, there's always one result, and that is heartache. We could put that in capital letters. You put social life before God, and there will be heartache. And I appeal to you young people this evening that that you take responsibility for your relationship with God before pursuing social life. Many of us can recall back to our youth, and yeah, there was a time when I thought I didn't have enough of social life. I wanted more social life. It's very important that we put God first and we have a relationship with God, because that's the first commandment, to love God. That's our first school. Our first school is God, not social life. It simply does not work to replace God with social life. I think we've all been guilty. I've been guilty of that. And we can make social life an idol. And again, when we do that, there's always heartache. Secondly, how can we have social life that contributes to spiritual maturity is reach out in love. In chapter 2, verse 11, "And Mordecai walked every day before the court of the woman's house to know how Esther did and what should become of her." I doubt that somebody gave Mordecai a schedule and said, "This is your job. Every day you need to go check up on Esther." No, it was his natural response because he cared a lot about Esther. And that's what he did every day. He had a genuine love for Esther because it says what should become of her. He had such interest in her. He had love for her. Social life is on right footing when it's a product of God's love in the heart. Social life is on right footing when it's a product of God's love in the heart. I'm blessed when I hear of our people volunteering at hospitals and rest homes, some that go from room to room to offer magazines, and others that take food on trays to patients. I'm also blessed with various churches that have efforts to sow truth in the lives of community children. That's inspiring. And we are appreciative of that, that we have young people and others involved in those things, because we love God. And as a result of loving God, we love people. We have an interest in people. And what's the product of that? Well, the product of that is social life, right? Aren't we getting social life tonight? We love God. We love people. And it produces social life. We need to cultivate that. Reaching out in love rather than spending more and more time on ourselves and our interest. You know, that is always God-honoring. It is always God-honoring. Just reach out in love. Mennonites need to be known for more than good food and well-kept properties. We need to be known that we are people that reach out and show love wherever we can. A few weeks ago, I was looking through some old pictures of it was a cleanup trip down, and I think it was the Kleiners back when I was a young person, and I was looking at these old pictures, and oh, there I saw Brother Sim Yoder. I was a young person then, but he was part of the group that came over from Dublin to help clean up. And those are wonderful things, opportunities for the younger, the middle-aged, the older to connect as we reach out in love and help others. You think about Mordecai here, it was a sacrifice for him to go every day to see what should become of Esther. The question that each of us should raise is, where can I sacrifice to reach out in love? Where can I sacrifice to reach out in love? Thirdly, is we're asking the question how tonight, is bring someone up with you. In chapter 2, verse 20, it says, "Esther had not yet showed her kindred nor her people, as Mordecai had charged her. For Esther did the commandments of Mordecai, like as when she was brought up with him." As we read this story, read these verses, there's not a doubt in our mind that Mordecai was a good foster dad. It mentions that Esther did the commandments of Mordecai. And we as parents, we know that that doesn't happen without a plan. It takes a plan if our children are going to obey us. Because very early we learned that we can be rather stunned with their disobedience. But little Hadassah had learned to respect perimeters. Really, she had learned to respect authority. I believe as a child. Notice that Mordecai had given her a charge, it mentions there in verse 20. Mordecai had given her some specific direction. And these are things that are greatly lacking in our society. And the question that we parents should ask is, are we being like Mordecai? Are we giving direction? Are we giving perimeters to our children? Are we helping them in their social development? Are we guarding them from wrong influences? Mordecai was very involved with Esther's life. I believe that's obvious. That upon their separation, he didn't just start getting involved in her life. There was involvement. And they obviously had a relationship. And I thought about this. I had to think what if Esther had a smartphone and she had dozens of people that she would box and try to stay connected to constantly? Lots of friends. I wonder about her relationship with Mordecai. You think it would have been there like this? That's something for us to think about. It's something for us to think about. It probably would have been different. It probably would have been. And I think many of us are facing those type of influences in our homes. Youth, bring someone up with you. That's the point here, this third point. Bring someone up with you. That is what Mordecai did. Like as when she was brought up with him. Maybe it's someone that you know, young people, that's struggling. Maybe they're struggling with acceptance. They aren't sure where they fit in. And you see them outside the circle. You see them outside the circle after course practice or after a program. And you see it. And I raise the question, what do you do? What do you do? Bring someone up with you. Yeah, that's the right thing, no matter how you feel. It's so wrong to push people down. It's so wrong to be cliquish. Mordecai brought up Hadassah. When Hadassah came, she may not have been a very lovely sight. She didn't have parents. She was maybe needed to learn maybe a lot of things. But Mordecai brought her up. Mordecai didn't push her down. He brought her up. He didn't treat her like a nobody, but he treated her like an important somebody. And we can look here what she became. Fourthly, is be real. Chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. We'll read these verses. And when Mordecai perceived that all that was done, Mordecai rent his clothes and put on sackcloth with ashes and went out into the midst of the city and cried with a loud and bitter cry and came even before the king's gate, for none might enter into the king's gate clothed with sackcloth. In every province, whithersoever the king's commandment and his decree came, there was great mourning among the Jews and fasting and weeping and wailing. And many lay in sackcloth and ashes. So Esther's maids and her chamberlains came and told it her. Then was the queen exceedingly grieved, and she sent raiment to clothe Mordecai. and to take away his sackcloth from him, but he received it not. In Mordecai, he could have put on a fine front, but he was mature enough not to be in denial. He knew that this was very serious, that this was a problem. He knew that Haman's plot had the king's signature. Mordecai knew that this was a sad, sad day. And he was real with it. You know, he didn't stuff it inside and just go about in his finery. But he did what was an acceptable practice in that day. And he wore sackcloth and ashes. And Esther was very grieved with his behavior and sent Haman. I believe there's a lesson for us, and that is to be real. Don't be pretenders. And we can apply that to social life and to be who we are. I believe social life is a blessing when we can be ourselves. And that can be something to learn. I think of young people. You may not be a great storyteller. You may not be the most gifted person when it comes to some have it easy and it just clicks for them. And there's others that find it difficult to find their way in social life. Some may be great storytellers and some may just not be. And that's fine. But my point is that we need to be ourselves. We need to be real. We need to be who we are. Let's not try to be something we aren't. Really, what we need to do is focus on Jesus. Focus on Jesus and try to be like him. That will help us in our social life. Fifthly, is communicate in right ways. In chapter 4, verses 13 and 14, we have some exchange here between Esther and Mordecai. And we'll read verse 13, which is Mordecai's response to Esther. Then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, "Think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" I believe Mordecai had an excellent response to Esther's fear to go into the king. And we notice that in verse 11. She expressed fear and she said, well, you know that it's death if the king doesn't hold out that golden scepter and if he hasn't called you. And we have Mordecai's response here. It's a response of faith. I see encouragement. He raises a good question to her. Mordecai did not ridicule her or intimidate her. You know, in these verses, he lays the facts out to her and uses reason. And he has her think about the place that she has in the kingdom. As one studies this response and this exchange, one concludes that these two had learned how to communicate. They could communicate. Very good. And they knew what each other meant. Want to know something, young people? Communication. Learning to communicate is far more important than learning to be good at volleyball, if I may say that. It is very important. Learn to communicate. I noticed how the other week, there was a question in the newspaper, and the question was, do you love technology or hate it? Do you love technology or hate it? And there was a response. One said, "I think about all the advantages of technology, staying connected to friends and online shopping. But I think it's constricting our lives because children don't know how to communicate anymore. They just text an email, and she said how she worries about this. And there is definitely some truth and concern about that. That we learn how to communicate. You think of the local papers. I think ours pretty much has a whole section just on sports. And children are being taught how to excel in sports. And yet they're failing in many other areas that are also very important for future life. And I believe we need to think about that too much play, too much focus on play will stifle spiritual maturity. And it will hinder the work of the church. We need to remember that focusing on play as a means of fulfillment will always produce shallowness. It was last fall that a very popular actor and comedian, Robin Williams, he was won many awards, and he could make people laugh and win and get awards for it. But in the end, they find him by taking his own life. They were surprised, but see, that doesn't bring fulfillment. Social life in itself and making people laugh and all that, in the end, is not fulfillment. And we need to remember that. Young people, you need to remember that. Many of us went through that and we learned that yes, if you don't have a relationship with God, you'll come home and you'll sort of feel empty. That man that took his life, he needed Jesus. He wasn't finding fulfillment in being an actor and comedian. Secondly, is maintain social reserve. We're thinking of how our social life can contribute to spiritual maturity. And I believe Esther gives us an example of social reserve. She was a young woman of strong character that kept herself pure. We notice in chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, how she was taken into the custody of Haggai. And notice in verse 9 that the maiden pleased him, and she obtained kindness of him, and he speedily gave her her things of purification. What impressed Haggai of Esther? History would say that there was 400. So out of 400, he noticed Esther and he was impressed. The maiden pleased him in verse 9. What made an impression on him? Well, I believe it was her humility, her sweetness, her graciousness, her kindness and loving spirit that flowed from her heart. Social life that contributes to spiritual maturity. There needs to be a social reserve. It's something that's good for us to think about, because the world has lost that there isn't a social reserve. Young people, be socially reserved. And I think something for us as parents to think about is youth being together in a mixed setting too frequent can bring a familiarity that can be detrimental. You know, when social reserve is lost, there's a freeness of speech and a lack of discretion. When a mother expresses concern about her 18-year-old daughter, when she's beginning to date, and she says they know each other too well already. They know each other too well already, and she's just beginning to date. Well, what that statement is indicating that someone failed to exercise proper social restraint. It's something we don't want to lose. We want to maintain a social reserve. Seventhly is social separation. Mordecai gives us an example of social separation. He did not bow to Haman. There were some social lines that he had, and he wouldn't cross. And that was one of them. He would not bow to to Haman. And as parents this evening, we are responsible to protect our youth from what harms them spiritually. A man of the world said that it seems to him that our American society is determined to exploit and corrupt young people. And that is so true. The media, the educational system, the entertainment, the music, they're just doing that thing. They're just corrupting young people and corrupting children. And be sure of it, brethren and sisters, the devil is behind it. The devil is behind it. And we're called to protect our young ones, our children, from those things that are so evil and corrupt. We as parents and church leaders and teachers, we ourselves need to avoid those corruptions, and then we need to help those that we are responsible to stay away from those corruptions. Something for us to think about is the frequency of eating out and where we eat out. I enjoy eating out, but sometimes I don't so much. There was a few weeks ago, we have a new Five Guys restaurant in Ephrata, and over the holiday time, the children were off of school. I took my five boys and I and went in there. But I was disappointed with the blaring music. I mean, it was just loud. And was it in a great atmosphere? Not really. Not really. Two of my boys were just distracted by two fellows that had a bunch of tattoos on and looked pretty rough. Anyway, that's just, we need to sometimes draw some lines in social separation. And some of these lines, I believe, will cross the restaurants we go to and the ones we do not go to. And the ones with social bars where you can sit there and there's video screens all over the place. You can choose what for ball team or sports. Why would a Christian go there? We shouldn't be at those places, should we? We need to draw lines in social separation. There's many people that have lost their way because they didn't draw lines socially. And it's not only young people, it's middle-aged. It's older men. Then we need men and women as well. Eighthly is make the home and church the hub of social life. I believe we could say from this story that Esther and Mordecai enjoyed home life. And I believe that's where it begins. Social life begins at home. That newborn baby gets social life being cuddled by mom and dad. I believe we need to conclude that, you know, that's God's plan, that home and church is the hub of our social life. Having the church youth in our homes, and dad and mom sit around the table or the living room with your children's friends. When did we last do that? Had our children's friends there? That can be a real blessing. There isn't the distraction of loud blaring music coming out of the ceiling and the immodesty. I believe we need a revival in getting our youth into our homes. I believe we need a revival. And I know that we can't play volleyball in the living room. But there's other things that we can do. There's other things that we can do in our homes. We can have food and fellowship and have many good memories. I believe we have that example from Jesus Christ. He went from home to home and had meals and fellowship, helped people. The last point, ninth point, is to seek the wealth of God's people. That's the conclusion of Mordecai's life, the last chapter, the last verse describes Mordecai as seeking the wealth of his people and speaking peace to all his need. Seeking the wealth of his people. You want good, wholesome social life, friends, this evening? Seek the wealth of God's people. It will contribute to spiritual maturity. Beyond that, we'll have a home in glory. Brethren and sisters, that will be the best social life. When we're with God, we're with Jesus Christ, and we're with the saints of all ages. That will be social life. There'll be no acceptance issues. I want to be there. I know you want to be there. And we appeal to you, young people, that you would make choices in this life that would result in heaven. May God bless you very much.